welcome to What's Your Deal? I'm your host, Ariana Lenarski. This is the podcast where we read tarot for special guests to find out where they've been and where they're going. With me today is Micah Gordon. Is that how you pronounce it?
That's correct.
Micah Gordon.
Michael Jordan. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Comedy writer from Good Mythical Morning. With me today wearing glasses that are two-tone glasses?
Correct.
Red on the top.
They said it was tortoise, but it's not at all. It's like just caramel,
okay. It's a caramel.
I can tell you about these glasses if you want to hear about them.
How much is it interesting?
Probably not.
I'll try me.
Well, I was looking specifically for two-tone glasses that were like a royal blue, and clear is kind of what I was maybe hoping for. But this is really close for my wedding. Because blue makes my eyes pop, and I'm wearing a blue suit. And I was searching around for a while, and then I went into Warby's. Mm-hmm. They didn't have anything. And I was talking with a very helpful person there and was like, man, I wish you had... I was wearing glasses that looked really good on me, but were not the right colors. And mm-hmm. I was like, I wish you had these in blue and whatever. And she was like, oh, you know what? Hold on. And she came back with this. And she was like, mm-hmm. this is an old pair that we used to have. Mm-hmm. And we have one left. And so I bought them.
They're very...
And that's the story.
They're very cute.
Thank you.
Are you looking forward to your wedding? Is wedding planning being crazy? Is that something... Should I bring this up?
Oh.
No?
So how have you been? No, it's good. It's almost over, so it's good.
Because you're getting married in October?
Yeah. Wedding planning sucks.
Yeah, I've heard.
My mom keeps being like, this is the funnest part, is planning it. I'm like, why?
What?
In what way?
Wow.
It's terrible.
What a crazy person.
I don't know if people actually enjoy it.
Wedding planning?
Yeah, I don't think anyone enjoys it, right?
Well, I mean, the people that become wedding planners are really detail-oriented people, right?
You would think.
Uh-oh. Well, I see.
No, everything's great.
Everything's great. I don't know.
It's strange because, like, you have a vision. Well, we didn't even know what we wanted. So our wedding planner actually helped us out a lot in, like, figuring out what we wanted for a wedding. And then you just can't do what you want. Like, the world won't let you. Vendors won't let you. Your parents won't let you. Like, everyone's just like, yeah, it's your day. You can do whatever you want. And then you're like, okay, well, I want the food to go like this. And mm-hmm. then you go to a caterer and they're like, oh, no.
We would never do that.
No, we can't do that.
There's no way.
We have to charge you five times as much for something you don't want. That's just kind of how it goes for everything. And so you end up spending a lot more money than you thought you were going to and wanted to on something that is like a kind of a shadow of your vision for the wedding. It's also like, you know, I think neither of us set out to be like, we're going to be the stars of this day and everyone's going to look at us and we're going to be so in love in front of everyone. That was never our like plan. Uh-huh. We wanted to have like a sort of understated sort of casual wedding that was just like a fun day and have everyone we care about there and stuff. And it kind of just like slowly turns into like, everyone look at us, be in love, which is something that we're both a little self-conscious about. So it'll be interesting. I think the day.
Go ahead. I was just curious if you guys are going to have a first dance.
We are, yes.
Oh.
I think. So we're going to do some of the cheesy stuff.
When I saw First Dance once, I almost cried. I did cry.
Oh, yeah?
I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Why? What were they doing?
I was stunned.
They were being really inappropriate. It's their first dance as a married couple. They really had to get in there.
She actually was an actress. It was my friend Lindsay Hahn who has been acting for a long time, and she's really beautiful. She kind of like has a very classic like blonde look, and she and her husband I think had gone to a first dance choreography class or something like that.
Should we do it? Oh no!
Because Micah,
I didn't think of that.
I almost cried. I couldn't believe it. Like it was so good, and they were so comfortable with each other, but doing these beautiful, you know, it wasn't a fast song. They were doing these like beautiful moves to this beautiful song, and everyone's gathered around them. And I couldn't believe my eyes. And it was such a surprise.
Well, our first song
is
Banga Bus.
Is what?
The Banga Boy Banga Bus. So it's going to be fast.
What's the Banga Bus?
The Banga Bus is coming, and everybody is that the name of that song?
No.
What is it called?
Actually, I'm sorry. I never knew that as an original song because I'm sorry. I'm like losing my shit right now. I don't even know why. I was in show choir as a kid.
Yeah.
Which you know, right? Did you know that?
I think I assumed it. I don't know if I knew it.
What about me? Seems screams show choir to you?
I don't know. You're like performative and.
Yeah, but that doesn't equal show choir.
Kind of does. I probably knew. You probably mentioned it to me.
I think I did mention it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something you assumed.
No, probably not. It's something that I just knew in the back of my brain.
Okay.
I didn't realize that I was going to offend you because it's a truth about you that you were in show choir.
I know. I'm just giving her time. Okay. There was this group called the Decibels.
That is adorable.
Yes. I wasn't in the Decibels, but they had a song called The Decibels Are Coming and Everybody's Jumping.
You thought it was an original?
Yeah.
Until just now?
Well, I just never even considered that there could have been a locus for that.
I do wish that my random reference was something I knew more about because I could have gotten, the name of the song could be wrong. I don't know. People might be like, what are you talking about?
You said it was the Banga Bus?
Vanga Bus. I'm trying to look to your picture to see if I can get any confirmation.
Someone's going
to
get help.
No idea.
Our producer is just like shaking her head.
The Vanga Boys, I think, are the name of the band. I should have just gone with Barbie Girl or Aqua, you know, something that I can actually reference with confidence.
The first thing that I thought of was Who Let the Dogs Out?
That would have been good too, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I could have gone with almost anything.
What are we talking about?
I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. Could have done that one. Anyway.
It's, you know, that guy died. I don't know why I feel so giggly right now.
That guy died. Which guy?
But the guy that wrote the, I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. Yeah.
Was it Chinese?
He passed away. No. No.
It makes him sick.
Am I telling the truth here?
Which is, I think, racist.
Oh, wow. God, the producer is
everyone. Everyone died.
More. I really need to chill out and like hang in there. All right. I'm going to try to calm down while
I interrupted
I share
your
this.
Beautiful story for this nonsense. And I am sorry.
I need to hang in there. And can you express what was just shown to us? Did you see that?
Yeah. Okay. I think we already did. Everyone, multiple people from that band died.
Oh, my God.
How did this happen?
What band?
From LFO. Oh, they both died from cancer?
I need to chill out. I'm really sorry. But I am learning that two of the men from LFO died from cancer. The Abercrombie and Fitch.
Is this going to affect my reading?
No.
Okay, good.
What if... Oh, no. Let's not even go there. Yeah. I was about to sort of make a joke about... that and it's not funny.
No, you hold all the power here.
All right.
I don't know how we got there, why that happened.
Let me explain how I know you. How about that?
Yeah, sure.
You're my former neighbor. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I'm your second neighbor, Micah. I didn't even get to be the first one.
So the story is that I used to live in an apartment. And above me, there was a man that was named Micah, right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct, yes. This is not even my story yet. No. This is before me.
And then I moved, and there was you. And I said, hi, what's your name? And you said Micah. And that was...
And then you went,
no!
It cannot be!
Another Micah.
Yeah, that's true.
My second neighbor, Micah.
Yeah.
And you guys have always kind of been at odds, right?
You're forcing that on us. We're perfectly amicable. I think about him very little. I'm sorry, Micah. You're a perfectly great person. I think you're great. But I don't know him that well. I only know him through you.
Which you purposely don't know him well, because I've forced you two together for years to try to get to know each other.
Go get dinner together, Micah. That's never happened. We've just been at your house together a few times.
Many times.
Yeah. We're very different people, I feel.
You are.
Yeah. Micah's come in all shapes and sizes.
Micah's come in all shapes and sizes.
We are both.
But what I like
white guys. Who are like
you guys are pretty much you're both editors. So you're kind of
five seven, yeah, five, yeah, eight white guys. He's probably taller than me.
What I liked was you were right across the, you were such a dependable neighbor. You were like right across the way from us. We could rely on you.
Yeah.
Me and my roommate. And I remember you were just at eye level with our window.
It's true.
So you could poke your nose.
That's a real sitcom neighbor.
It was
in that
a real
regard.
Sitcom neighbor where you'd see, because people can't see, but you have like a kind of, you're a redheadish strawberry blonde. What would you say?
Well, I would call it a burnt
wheat. Orange. Burnt wheat.
No, burnt, yeah, wheat. Strawberry blonde I think is appropriate.
Strawberry
Everyone
blonde.
Calls me a redhead.
But you know,
it always bothered
you know
me as a child.
Not.
I'm fine now with it. Mm-hmm. Ginger, I don't.
Mm,
love.
You're not a ginger. You're,
I have a big red beard. That gets in the way.
Yeah, you have a big red
People
beard.
People look at my beard and they go, "You're the whole thing is red."
But actually, your eyebrows are blonde.
They're right? clear.
Clearly blonde.
They're see-through.
Your top of your head is burnt wheat.
Yeah.
So we would see this sort of brow.
And I used to have like
a swirl, right?
A swoop,
swirl,
like
a swoop.
You know, the soccer player Nazi youth.
Nazi youth haircut.
Yeah.
And we'd see your dazzling blue eyes, right?
Thank you so much, yes.
The clear eyebrow.
Yes.
The brow itself.
Yeah, the fairly large forehead.
Fairly large forehead that you could sunbathe on, you know, kind of like, it's all, you know.
That's insulting. No, it's
well,
fine.
You know, like, you could hang out on the.
Yeah.
It's
a
know,
classic
it's
five
real
head.
Estate. It's not a five head.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's
four
a
four and a half head.
It's well proportioned forehead.
Thank you
that
so
says
much.
I.
It's just a high hairline. That's
it's
all
a
it
high
is.
Hairline,
and it's not even receding, which is nice.
Not receding.
Just been like this.
You've got a great face.
Thank you.
And so
that's nice.
You had your swoop, so we would see the eyes, the brow, the eyebrows, the brow, the hair swoop.
Yeah.
And then we would hear,
you know, everything that's kind of like top half of the
everything
the head.
Top half of the head. And hey guys, and then we'd say hey guys. It was great. And we would say, hey, Micah. And
my,
it was great.
My version of that is that you would kind of absently walk, just like jaunt past my open front door a lot,
mm-hmm,
and not notice me.
Yeah. And you'd be
I would
like,
just
there
see
I
you
go.
Walking back and forth a lot from your place to the front gate.
And you'd be like, there she goes.
Yep.
That's my neighbor.
Off into the day. I wonder what she's getting up to. And then I would journal about it. And I'm here to present those journals to you now.
All right. We've dicked around here long enough. What do you want to...
Do we do anything good?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Okay.
What do you want to know today?
Well, Ariana, I'm actually... this is perfect timing for me because I'm in a pretty transitional period,
uh-huh,
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The aforementioned wedding.
Mm-hmm.
That is transitional. But I have no real, like, major questions about that. I've got that under... I feel like I have a good grasp on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, you know, my life's going to be different, I suppose, because I'm going to be married. Tax breaks and such. But I also just left my job. And the reason I left my job is because it was kind of a career staller for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I realized I wasn't ever gonna
live out your dream.
Yeah, it just like wasn't gonna lead to anything else. So I had to, it was like a, eventually it became a no-brainer. I had to do it. But I'd left because my career wasn't going anywhere there, and now I have no job. So
oh,
it's
okay.
Like it's
okay.
Like, well, I didn't fix the situation
right.
at all.
Right.
I just
Well, you made space.
I moved on. I made space, yeah.
Okay.
So right now I'm struggling with, it's been a few weeks, or it's been like a little over a month. So I'm struggling with like where to devote my energy,
mm-hmm,
to get what I'm after career-wise, and then how much more of that energy can I really devote to this at my age and like, you know, in my situation where I don't have like a ton of savings and, you know, I'm going to need to start working fairly soon. And then like, what's my plan B if I do make a career switch, or like, is there something I can do for, I've always wanted to be like able to do stuff on my own creatively and just put it out into the world, but it's hard because all I want to do is write, and I kind of hate doing all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I try to like, well, I'll just draw something or I'll shoot and edit something, which are things that I like can kind of do a little bit. I'm not
it's
like gifted
non-enjoyable.
At them, but Yeah, I don't enjoy it, and it takes me a long time. And so my dream is to just like be able to just write,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But so basically the question is like, what do I do?
yeah. Well, it's like, how can you've made some space. So how can you kind of make this new time in your life to make a foundation to see if it's possible to write full time?
Yeah.
Right?
And more specifically, I know exactly what I want to write.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of promised myself a year or two ago, like, okay, it's all or nothing.
Because
mm-hmm. I've found that I don't get fulfillment from doing like things that are ancillary to that. Like, I want to write comedy, like scripted comedy television.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
And that's pretty broad in itself. Like, there's a lot of areas in that that I think I would really enjoy. So it's hard to get a job doing that. Like, I can't apply to a job doing that. So I can apply to like something that's like write web content for this thing, which is at this point, I think I just don't want to do any of that mm-hmm. at all. I only want, it's like all or nothing.
Okay.
Either want to get what I really want or find
something else. Okay, great. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to read the tarot of Micah Gordon. Welcome back to What's Your Deal? I'm about to read the tarot for Micah Gordon to see how he's going to orient himself in this little transitional phase in his life. So, Micah, can you please shuffle these cards for me, please?
Sure.
And I kind of want to feel like your energy is pouring into the cards. Thinking about your past and your present and your future. Mm-hmm. Shuffling.
Can I just do like one of these?
Mm-hmm. He's doing a poker. You can look at them.
I don't want him.
He's doing a, what do you call that?
No idea. An easy shuffle.
An easy shuffle. He's doing an easy shuffle. Because
I'm not too
shuffle.
Good at the, like flipping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so with your left hand, divide the deck into three separate piles, please.
Okay. That's already kind of divided. I'm just going to go with that.
Mm-hmm. And then also with your left hand, put them back together in any order that you choose. Okay. I'm going to say a brief prayer over these cards. Got some cards showing the big burden. Oh. Sorry, I'm just making noises to have the whole
I heard
spread out. Here. Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
Tarot's so interesting because I don't know anything about it. So uh-huh. the few times I've had it read, I'm just completely lost at what anything means until mm-hmm. I'm told.
Well, you know what? Today's the day I'm going to tell you what it all means.
Great.
So at the heart of the matter is the Five of Cups. I have this figure who's in a black shroud staring at his cups that have spilled over.
He has my posture too.
Has your posture. That's not true. I think you're kind of an upright,
really?
Upright citizen.
Kelly yells at me for slouching.
Really?
Huh. I mean, she doesn't yell at me. It's not like
you need
it
help.
Doesn't get yeah. It doesn't get rough. She points it out.
he's got bad posture because he's kind of looking at what he's lost, essentially. It's a card that sometimes validates grief. It actually validates change. It validates some of the suffering that accompanies change. On the one hand, honestly, there's a lot of disappointment with this card can be. Sometimes what you hoped for doesn't come true, and it causes some pain.
I've never experienced that before.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
No, that's very, yeah.
and so, you know, that's a very common feeling to feel somewhat devastated when things don't go as we had hoped they would. And there's a time to mourn that. Grief is not like a character flaw. It's like an essential part of moving forward, pretty much. And it shows that this is a, you know, it's a period of transition from mourning kind of what you've lost. And then whenever you're ready, you turn around and see that there's still two cups that remain standing. And cups always represents your emotional life. It represents your heart, represents creativity, represents receiving and like all these sort and love and connection. Two of Cups is always representing connection. So this is a transitional time for you. You're moving into the next phase. It's painful. Crossed by the Ten of Wands, which is another really, it's interesting because this, the five, he's, you know, he's kind of hiding his head in grief. And then the Ten of Wands, he's burying his head in the wands. This figure who has your wheat colored hair here.
Oh, yes.
And
my skirt.
And your skirt.
And leggings.
And leggings. And he is hanging on to 10 wands and is bent to another, you know, bent bad posture, back-breaking posture, really, of carrying these 10 wands. And usually this has to do with creativity. It's just like kind of what you said of like, Jesus Christ, this is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It's like no matter, it's almost this feeling of like no matter how much you might want to just write, it almost feels like doomed to be doing all these other things you don't want to be doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's a lot of pressure on yourself with this card that no one can even really help. There's like a sense of like, I got to do this all myself. I've got to take the whole world on my back. And the 10 also, 10s always indicate ends of cycles. So this is kind of like, it's almost like all the wands finally dropping. It's like, it's too much and they all spill out of your hands because it's like too much. Which
it's
is
like a plate balancing.
It's like an incredibly huge, yeah.
Plate spinning.
Overwhelming plate spinning act of creativity. And the thing is, this figure took all these on because he actually really did care. Like, you actually are a passionate person that wants to be a creative person. Like, that's, you are hoping dearly to follow your dreams. And that's the reason you take this all on in the first place. And this happens a lot in Los Angeles. Like, you just, you say yes, and you say yes, and you say yes, and you say yes. And then it's like, get into this place where it all kind of falls down. So that's at the heart of the matter. So that's sort of just almost like the deck reframing the question here in these positions to say like, man, this is a really transitional time. Will the burden ever cease? You know what I mean? It's like, will this ever get easier?
Oh, man.
You know bleak. What I mean? Yeah, it is. It's bleak, but it's a real question. You know,
no, yeah,
it's like, isn't there a way to have this not be so hard?
Yes.
Past position, the Wheel of Fortune. So kind of a funny card. You know, it's the whirly. You've had a whirling time for the last, probably, honestly, since I've known you, what, 5 years, something like that?
More than that, I think.
More than that? Yeah, six years?
Yeah.
Of just things whirling along, like, and you jumping on when you saw it fit to jump on the wheel and go for a ride. You know, you've been very involved in your life.
Yeah.
You know? You.
Well, I need actionable plans.
Yeah, you're an action forward.
And I chose the wrong career for that because you have to have a break. You have to like get lucky and get a break.
That's funny.
But I work really well with like, here's what I'm supposed to do. Let me like, here's the steps that I need to take, and then I'm gonna do those steps, and here's the skills I need to learn. And here's what I need to get good at, and blah blah blah.
Yeah. You chose a career that's very Wheel of Fortune based of like luck. You need some luck.
Definitely.
So you've been riding that wheel, you know.
Yeah. I think I've had like 4 or 5 jobs since I've known you.
Yes, definitely.
And worked on a bunch of personal projects and
yeah.
You've seen all of that.
Yeah. But always jumped in with both feet. Like, it's really odd because you don't necessarily think of a comedian as like a working stiff or like something like that. But like, you kind of are.
Yeah.
You're like, man, I really want to put on my suit and go to work in the writer's room from 9 to 5. Like,
that
that's like your dream.
Legitimately all I want. Yeah.
And I've always seen that. And
I feel like most writers' rooms have hours more like
ten to four,
and
I
that
know.
Sounds really nice to me.
Right,
too.
Right.
I want to get paid a lot of money to do a little work.
Right.
No, it's tons of work.
All to say, it's not like you haven't been engaging. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've been going along for the ride. You're not someone that's like shying away from fucking giving things a shot.
Definitely,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
And I've always, I feel like it's rare that I'll take even 2 weeks or a week to like not be proactive about my career. But this last like month, I've applied to some stuff, and most of what I've worked on has been like, okay, well, here's a specific thing that I want. I'm going to write a packet for it or whatever, but I haven't been. I've spent some days just like playing video games, and it's kind of unlike me because I feel very lost in how I should focus. So I'm just avoiding it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very not. There's not a lot of room in our the way we've been socialized to like be chill with relaxing outside of the context of having a job.
Right.
Like it's very demonized.
Yeah. Well, we're also like everybody's, even like successful people are pretty much paycheck to paycheck kind of.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You kind of are forced to be always thinking about, well, how do I earn my next paycheck?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. In the conscious position is the reversed Seven of Cups. When the Seven of Cups is upright, it actually is what you're talking about of like the malaise and the sort of like, I don't know what's next and like too many opportunities. I'm paralyzed. I can't make a choice. And when it's reversed, you know, that's you consciously knowing like, well, if the opportunity is there, I'll go for it. You know, it's like that. It's like clearing away the, to me, it's like, well, perhaps it's like you're consciously thinking, well, perhaps if I know what choice I want to make, then my path will be clear. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, like, you know that already, right? It's like if the option was there, you'd take it.
Yes.
So that's what you consciously are aware of.
Like opening, like just making sure you're ready and
correct.
Open for it. Yeah.
What's interesting is in the unconscious position is the reverse Four of Pentacles. So this is a little different. So the reverse Seven of Cups is, like you said, kind of getting off your ass and making a choice, being an actionable person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Four of Pentacles reversed is a little different. Four of Pentacles reversed, when it's upright, it shows this grouchy king, grumpy looking king, who has has pentacles, which represents material force. So the cups we talked about represent creative force. The wand, emotional force. Mm-hmm. Wands represent creative force. Pentacles is more about material force. It actually is more about money. It is more about like your health, your real world things. Mm-hmm. And when it's upright, he's very tense.
Protective.
He's protective. He's gripping hard onto these pentacles that usually represent money, honestly. And he has this whole kingdom behind him that he's not even looking at. So I always say it's like a king that doesn't realize he's a king. It's someone that's gone through survival mode, essentially, that's been surviving and is not yet aware that he's thriving.
Oh, interesting.
And is still sort of gripping, not allowing money, quote money, or any kind of material force to kind of come and go, being chill with the flow coming and going of money, for fear that it's never going to come back again. So I must hoard.
Yeah.
It's kind of the card of, ends up being kind of like greed, essentially. And when it's reversed, there's a sense of knowing that that is not how things work. Like it's like deep down, you kind of know that for whatever reason, putting material force out there is going to come back to you three times full, if that makes sense. There's something you I think at the root is like an awareness. It's not just about like walking through the door. It's about like emotionally making the choice going through the door. There's something about giving of yourself in a way that we are always told is like not a good idea, like kind of what you're saying, like work all the time, like live paycheck to, you know, like money is, man, things are scarce, like there's not a lot of money out there. You know what I mean? It's like this sort of not really that true, not that true of a concept that we're all a little sickened with. That,
oh yeah,
you
it's
know
all
what I mean?
I mean, it's totally made up.
Yes.
Money's fake.
Yes.
And it's, yeah.
Insanely
toxic.
Toxic and creates like mental slavery.
Yeah, yeah. And
yeah.
It's the reason that the world sucks. Like solely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know that something about you being aware of that is a major factor in you taking your next step forward. Like your ability to be conscious of that frees you in a way that many people around you are not free.
That's interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I've been struggling with like, because Kelly calls me a luxury boy.
A luxury boy?
Yeah, we both
like you like your beard conditioner and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I look very unkempt right now.
No,
I'm
look great.
Getting a haircut after this. But yeah, we like to like stay in, we like white linens and
right.
like, you know, have a spa day and stuff like that. But I've been struggling a lot lately with like taking a checklist of like my actual happiness. Like, what are the things that actually make me happy and what are the things that distract me from happiness? And like, there's the things that make me happy are so simple and the things that distract me from it is everything else, and it's like making money and and worrying about that, and like living in Los Angeles is, and living in the United States is a distraction from my happiness for sure. So part of me is just like, what would, like, if I were starting over, it's just like, and my only goal was to be happy, what, where would I go and what would I do? And the scary answer to that is like nothing that I'm doing right now.
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't be in Los Angeles. I wouldn't be like working so hard at a career that I need to kind of get lucky in order to achieve. And, you know, apart from my relationship, pretty much everything else could go.
Mm.
And my cats, I guess.
Yeah. And your neighbors.
And my neighbors. We're not neighbors anymore. Well, I guess we're like...
We're like that. Not as close.
We're in the same...
We're in the same neighborhood.
Neighborhood, kind of.
That's a really hard thing to sit with. And I think actually pretty... I think it's actually probably very subconscious reality for everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think there really is a deep understanding within... not just here in Los Angeles, but with everything happening in the United States of like, this can't be all there is. Like, this is awful.
Yeah, it feels really you know? Suffocating and it's hard to step out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of your subconscious is like intentionally using it as distraction to not make you confront the fact that you're not actually living your happiness.
Yeah.
Which is like almost all of us, I feel like, are not really like confronting our happiness. What would truly make us happy?
Yeah.
It's probably way easier than you think.
To be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like being happy is easier. It's just like getting there. You have to abandon all of those distractions.
The illusions.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. Money and Twitter and like.
I love money and Twitter.
I know. That's all anyone does is money and Twitter. And they're both terrible.
I kind of like Twitter.
All I hear on Twitter is like, Twitter sucks. Why am I on here? And that's what I say on Twitter, too.
I say that I like it.
Really?
I like Twitter.
Okay. It's toxic.
I know that. Well, but yeah. It's like, the way to be happy is easy. Getting rid of the bondage is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe not easy, but simple.
Simple.
Like
yes.
The things that make you happy are very simple things. And probably only a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, and they're attainable. It's
yeah.
just all the rest of the stuff it's a shell, you know, that you have to break through.
Yeah.
And no one does it.
What?
Like achieves that. It's
breaking through the shell?
You'd have to be like a hermit weirdo in order to like go live your ultimate happiness, right?
How dare you say something like that?
Like, how do you, like, when I think about it, I'm like, I want to live in New Zealand and make sell prepared food in a little bodega. Like, I don't know what I want to do.
Well, it's a little hard when you are, well, we were talking about this earlier today, like, it's difficult when you got a bit of a funny bone.
Yeah.
Like, and you want to have fun, like, really have fun.
Yeah.
Like, laugh really hard.
Just goof off.
And sometimes the simple life lacking
not that,
some
not that fun.
Not that funny.
True,
not
yeah.
even not that fun, not that funny.
There's no shows.
There's like, sometimes comedy is such a searing coping mechanism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not...
So if you're happy, then you're
happy,
not
going to
be
it's
funny.
Like, well, no, that's a lie. I think that's a lie that like catches up with a lot of comedians, stuff like that.
Definitely.
But there is this sort of like, if there's nothing to joke about, then,
yeah,
you know.
I suppose. I mean, I think like the thing that comedy has been struggling with over the last 10 years is like, how do we like be funny, but we can't say these words and we can't talk about these things, and which is all just like stupid.
That is stupid.
Comedy is just supposed to you're supposed to point it at someone and then make them happy. And that's all that it is.
Yeah.
And it's easy to do.
Yeah.
In any context.
Yeah.
You don't need certain words. You don't need to talk about taboo things and really get in someone's face about the things that they fear most. Or you can, that's one way to do it potentially, but some people don't want that. And then if you're like trying to be like, be happy, like get happy when I'm like yelling a thing that traumatizes you at you, well, that's stupid, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to be tickling.
Yeah, just you just have to find the way to make the most people happy and then do that.
It weirdly seems like the thing the wanting to tickle somebody is like trying to get them to let go a little bit and remember that it's that easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or not, I shouldn't say easy, simple.
Yeah, simple.
You know? Yeah. Laughing is a really simple thing to do, and it's hard to do it sometimes.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. It's interesting, too. So in your future position here, I'm actually going to pull a card to clarify it, because it's the Star.
You're allowed to do that?
Yeah, why not? I can do what the hell I want.
Cool.
Whatever I want. You know, these are really deep and hard things to reckon with, because what if the answer is you have to let go of all this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the Star reversed. When the Star is upright, it's hope. It's peace. It's often peace you see when you don't have the material reason for it yet. It's like the lantern that's showing you, like, this is the way. It's like the Star that the three wise men, I don't know, I'm not, whatever, neither of us understand. But you know what I'm talking about. It's the North Star.
That's the New Testament, right?
Just, is that what it is?
Right, that, yeah. That's Jesus stuff.
Post, yeah, it's the.
Alone.
Post.
Serial.
Godfather, God and Father Part 2.
Is that you? Did you just come up with that? Or is that
yeah.
A quote? That's great. That's funny.
Thank you so much.
Good job.
You know, it's nice to get a little bit of validation. Anyway.
You were so confident about it, it sounded like a quote from something, which is commendable.
Can you not undercut me every time
I think
that
was
out.
A compliment. I was worried that you thought I was like, you couldn't come up with that. But you said it so confidently, which is a plus. Anyway,
you know
continue.
What?
I keep
you
distracting
and I...
us.
Okay. All right. So anyway, what I was trying to say is the Star is really wonderful. It is the promise that you are on the right path.
But.
It's so... Well, it is a but, right?
But
it was reversed. But what's so interesting is like the Star is kind of undeniable. It's like it doesn't really matter if it's reversed or not.
Okay.
It's so undeniable that it ends up kind of being about your belief. It seems to be saying, well, it sounds like there's an issue of faith at hand. When it's reversed, it's like, if it's upright, it's like, keep on going, you know, and it's like, well, you could, but it really seems to be about your actual faith.
Okay.
Whether it's in yourself, in your path, in the world around you, the answer seems to be, the answer seems to be a decision about what you truly believe, which is like...
Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted an answer for.
Well, I think what the answer is that at the end of the day, it kind of doesn't matter where you... I mean, yes, there are ways you could... It's probably you're going to have a better quality of life if you go to New Zealand or whatever, you know?
Best country on earth. I've never been there.
Best country on earth.
I'm just assuming
it
seems good.
Same
for me. It's like the most
progressive cows,
and beautiful
David
Ferrier's
there.
Yeah.
Great. But like at the end of the day, this should be something you can tap into no matter where you are. Because there's really, it's cliche, but there's no safety anywhere you go. There's no security anywhere you go. You know, we all face terrible pain no matter what. But if it's possible that suffering is sort of like an option or something like that, you know, you can experience the pain without the suffering. It seems to be based in really getting clear on what you believe, because then your external circumstances won't matter. You'll be able to return to this sense of peace no matter where you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like the ultimate.
Yeah.
The ultimate goal. It's like nirvana and enlightenment, right?
Yes. And I think.
I could do that. Easy.
It's kind of weird because that's sort of what it seems to be telling you. It's like, do you believe you deserve, like, honestly, this is what it's saying. It's like, do you believe that you deserve nirvana? Then go forth, my friend. Mm. Like, that seems to be what the answer to your very hard, deep question is. Well, you asked a hard question.
A lot of pressure.
You know, it is a lot of pressure, but well, that's why I want to pull some clarifying cards. It's like, well, that's kind of a heavy answer. Like, is there a way to sort of, oh man, it's really telling you that you got to just do it.
Oh no, what?
It's showing me the Eight of Swords. It's showing that your clarity of purpose is key. Swords always represents the mind. Has showing this figure that's bound and is blindfolded.
Mm-hmm.
But her bonds are pretty loose. She could probably wiggle out if she wanted and grab a sword. And the swords represent clarity of purpose and mental force. So there's something about you have way more control than you think you do in this situation.
Okay.
And the way the answer, it, I mean, it's rephrasing what you literally just said is that the answer is probably simple, but not easy.
Right. So do you think it's saying I have more control? Because there's two ways I could interpret right. that. One is I have more control over like my this career goal that I'm going for uh-huh. is ultimately in my control, even though it feels like it's not, because there's so many thresholds and gatekeepers and things. Is it saying that, or is it saying that happiness is in my control and I can just abandon the things that aren't working and seek happiness?
Seems like a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think it's both. And seems to be promising this really delightful outcome. Ten of Cups shows this rainbow with the, it's like oh actually God. Like almost a joke of happiness.
Yeah.
A happy family. They're singing. It looks like New Zealand, right?
Yeah. So go to New Zealand.
Go to New Zealand.
Oh, it was reversed?
It was reversed, but I think it's sort of similar to the star, where it's like, you got to believe that you deserve it. Mm-hmm. That's literally what's in your way. Even if that's difficult. Here, I'm going to just quickly go up the staff here.
Okay.
Five of Wands shows these guys that are whapping each other with their wands, like five of them in a fray.
That's fun.
Like what?
Pool noodles. Pool.
Mm-hmm. It is actually, I mean, talk. That's actually not, that's not a bad way to think about it, honestly. Really, seriously. It's like these, you can't quite tell if they're fighting or playing.
The five of pool noodles. Yeah, it does look very playful.
It's very playful. You're very involved. Like, this is action, movement, like being in the fray, and it's mm-hmm. it's almost like difficult to see the big picture.
Interesting, okay.
In your environment, Ace of Pentacles, kind of showing you that there is this, well, what we were talking about, there's this there's now this seed that's been planted for you to experience a new kind of material success and to make your dreams a reality, essentially. Like, that option is actually open to you at this time.
Okay.
And then Hopes and Fears is the Devil, which is so interesting because that's, it does represent Hollywood to me sometimes. Everything we've just been talking about, all the illusions surrounding money, all the illusions surrounding what you deserve.
Yeah.
The lies that get thrown around about whether or not you're lovable, addiction, bondage. It's like all this stuff.
Yeah, it's a slog.
It's a slog. It's weird that you hope this and fear it.
That's Hopes and Fears?
Hopes and Fears is the Devil.
Okay.
So it's almost, I mean, it's almost
yeah,
seems
I mean,
like.
That makes sense.
Yeah. This hope to face it almost.
Yeah. And it's also like the thing that I want is, I know that it's like part of a bad system. Like a
yes,
system that.
Yes.
That breeds a lot of abuse and.
Yeah.
And bad things and. Is very greedy and is 99% about money and 1% about art and stuff like that.
Do you think there's a part of you that's like, maybe I can be this star, this, I mean, there's literal star, right?
Yeah.
But also this like actual purveyor of peace in this terrible place. Or like funny or, you know.
I wish, but I don't think I'm strong enough to do that because I always tell myself, like, okay, be the kind of person people want to recommend and work with in the future and stuff like that. And I think for the most part, I am that. And that is, like, something that I really focus on. But I also easily get swept up in, like...
All the bullshit.
And then start complaining and get negative. And that's something that happens really easily for me, too. So it's tough. So I don't think that I might not be able to, like, be a shining light in a dark... swampy wasteland.
That seems like the question of that seems to be the ultimate question of faith surrounding the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The overall outcome is Ten of Pentacles, really the pinnacle of material success. So this is about long-standing institute. It's almost like marriage and long-standing things that have been around a really long time. Having everything you need, but it's like a very crowded card in this courtyard. No one's really looking at each other. They're all looking in separate directions. And it's actually a card you see when things get a little conservative and people don't really, it's like a fat cat card almost. And usually, as I said, tens always indicate the ends of cycles. So it's kind of showing that something you already know, that you're at the end of this material cycle. You quit your job.
Mm-hmm.
You're entering into this new phase where you're planning something really new to see if you can make this dream a reality. And I think my answer to you is just for your question overall is it's kind of annoying, but it's ultimately going to be your decision about whether or not you want to keep having faith in your path and in this journey. It's up to you.
Yeah.
It is present if you believe it, which is like strange.
Yeah. I have trouble like distinguishing between like faith and delusion. They seem like almost identical to me.
The difference is that one is supposed to remind you of who you really are and the other takes you away.
Okay.
And you can kind of sense that.
Yeah.
It's the one that reminds you like, oh, right, I'm like connected to, you know, we're all connected and, you know, actions have consequences. You know what I mean? It's like a sort of sense. It brings.
What actions? Like which one specifically? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's how you can kind of tell. Honestly, it's like, it's a little subtle, but it ends up being, the loving path does bring pain sometimes, but you know it when you feel it, because you feel like you're remembering. Delusion is, separates you from yourself.
Well, I think like the self-confidence in your own work that you have to have in order to like write the next thing or keep going is, it's strange. It's like a thing that I struggle with, because I write something and I'm like, this is good. Like, I'm a good writer.
Right.
And then when I read it 2 years later, I'm like, you're that like, sucked. Now I'm a good writer. But then with, you know, I have like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like with that context, I can be like, okay, well, whatever I'm writing now, I'm going to hate in 2 years.
Right. I definitely relate to that.
But that's also just a journey. Like you're always going to get better. And that's the point. You want to always get better.
Yes. So
I guess it's fine.
Yes. That's a good example of the delusion is like, I suck, rather than like, oh, I was growing.
Yeah. So at what point will I grow into being good enough to start doing it?
Only you know that.
Yeah. I mean, I truly do think I am, but, you know.
Yeah.
I guess that's the delusion part. It's just like, well, I believe in myself. But I have no evidence to show that I am actually capable of success in television, really.
That's
because I've only been in digital. And I can do that. I don't like it, though. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's your answer.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Very helpful.
Okay,
this is by far the most interesting of the very few tarot readings I've had. Most of them have been from you, actually.
Well, thanks a lot.
No, but this was the longest and the most in-depth, and I had a legit question coming in here that like I needed answers
We went
for.
Really deep, and actually I feel pretty good that we came out the other side with some pretty actionable advice, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty impressed with us.
I always thought tarot, I don't know if we have time for me to talk about this.
Sure,
I always thought tarot was, like, you know, I don't believe in anything, so I was always like...
Not even yourself.
Yeah, I was always just like, I mean, it's cards. They're not imbued with any powers. But then you probably told me, I think Kelly is, because she's read my tarot too. I think it's just a way to start talking and contextualizing your life and questions you have and stuff, which I think is, you know, whatever the cards were, we would still talk about it and get to somewhere.
You know, it's no different than reading a book that we both, talking about a book that we both like.
Right.
You know? I think, like, I mean, I really am a strong, it seems obvious to me that everything is connected, not necessarily, like, in a magical way, but, like...
Well, you have a very, like, your life
my
is
life
very,
is
like,
a pretty good proof of that,
it's strange.
It's really weird.
Yeah, you tell me like, a lot of stories where I'm just like, someone wrote that.
Yeah, but you were with me today. You saw it happen today. Like, we had a weird coincidence today where I was, like, talking about someone and then... their best friend appeared like while we were talking about them.
Yeah.
Right. But
And
what?
And recognize you even though
you've
never met. And recognize
me even though I've never met him. Like what? So weird.
Yeah.
But you know, tarot is a bridge to you. So that's why it works. And you kind of just have to
And I
deal with that.
Coming and just talking about myself for an hour.
Yeah, right. And you're a narcissist. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Just getting dissected. It's really great.
I can't
afford therapy right now, so it's just...
Right. That's why everyone's coming to do my podcast. This is how I make friends.
We were friends before you.
That's what you would say. How can people find you online?
Well, you can go to the toxic website that is Twitter. If you feel like
going on there, then I do some stuff on there that's mostly funny and occasionally political, and I'm sorry for the political stuff. It's at Micah J. Gordon.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
I
want to recommend a book to people, favorite TV show.
I'm currently reading a not very good book called The Fold.
Okay.
So read that with me.
What's your favorite movie?
Oh, my favorite movie? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
You're saying just say anything or don't answer?
I don't know. Recommend something.
I just saw Yesterday. I thought that was cool. Have you seen it?
No, but I know you have the same birthday as Paul McCartney.
That's true. I do. Mm-hmm. And the premise is just so good. I didn't know what it was.
Everybody kind of thinks about that, right? You always kind of dream like, oh, I wish I could trick people into thinking I wrote Norwegian Wood or something. Right?
Yeah, totally. And when I was just out of college, I was trying to write something about like a Beatles tribute band and like the kind of bleakness of that. And it didn't work at all. And I wasn't a good writer at the time. And and then this is like sort of, it's not the same idea, but it's like kind of a nugget of that thing I was trying to figure out so well. It's one of those things where you're like, not like, oh man, I could have done that, but just like, that's
right.
Good job. Like you did it.
That makes me want to see it.
Yeah, it's not like it's not like a perfect movie or anything, but it's just a really good premise, executed pretty well.
And Beatles.
And it like, in the very background is like this kind of quantum immortality thing happening that they never really address. So that's cool. It has some like philosophical things involved. It was fun.
Okay, check it out.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, Micah.
Thanks so much for having me.
Delightful friend.
I like being on your podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you next time.